The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. As they say in rock and roll, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, only maybe worse. Ben Bernanke's two terms as chairman of the Fed have ended, and Janet Yellen, who prefers now to be called the chair, is in. We'll assess what Bernanke's 8 years have meant and what we might expect from Yellen when we speak with Ron Paul right after this.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
I suppose you could be like the government, spending millions on a website that doesn't even work. Or you could do it the right way with Squarespace and be thrilled with the results. Squarespace is the easiest way to create an exceptional website. Squarespace provides everything you need to create a beautiful website for you or your business. They have beautiful designs to start with and all the style options that you need to create a unique website for you or your business. And don't worry about getting stuck along the way, because with Squarespace, making your site is really easier than ever. They have a 24/7 support team. You simply add your own content, you customize your style, and you'll have a website that looks great on every device. Seriously, it really is that easy. Try Squarespace today for free. Trust me, you'll love your new website. And when you're ready to go live, enter Ron at the checkout and save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code RON at squarespace.com/Ron Paul. squarespace.com/Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, the weekly podcast.
They may have some uncanny luck at the top of the Fed, Dr. Paul. Alan Greenspan got out just before an ugly confrontation with the mortgage bubble that he blew up. And now Ben Bernanke is gone before all the damage is suffered from his quantitative easing.
Well, I think they're pretty lucky, because I don't think they schedule it in their own minds, because they believe in themselves so strongly that if the president came to Bernanke and say, please, Mr. Bernanke, stay with us, we need you, I think he would have been staying. No, it's just sort of, I guess after about 8 or 10 or 12 years, however they stay, they've done enough harm and they're lucky they do get out and they're not all to blame. But, even Greenspan, even though he left before the big crunch, he was still able to get away with this to a large degree. But now he still gets blamed, because afterwards they kept saying, well, Greenspan kept the interest rates too low too long. You have to remember, Greenspan took over right, I guess it was the beginning of 87, right before the big stock, they called it the crash. But to me, I remember when that happened, I thought, the thing, well, if this is a correction in a bull market, and it went down like 22% in one day, which was historic, I thought, boy, can you imagine where this bubble is going to go? And it turned out that it was just a correction in this huge bubble. But in other ways, we're still in the midst of a big bubble that has been pervasive through all these ups and downs, and that's the bubble in the bond market. And they're oblivious to it. They don't think it's a problem, and that creating new money isn't always the answer. But if you look at what Bernanke did, to me, the numbers are astounding. He's leaving with a balance sheet of over $4 trillion, and it was under $1 trillion when he took over 8 years ago. So it was actually about $3.3 trillion of new money created out of thin air by Bernanke. And in a way, nobody wants it. So it all drifts into the banks. It drifts into buying mortgage securities. It goes into propping up bond markets. But to me, that's a huge bubble. And, when you think about just in this accumulation of $3 trillion, half of it, $1.5 trillion, he bought mortgage-backed securities. So I wonder really what they're worth now. Do you think they're worth $1.5 trillion? I have my doubts, because even, right now the stock market's not doing so well, because there's this pretense that they're actually going to cut back, which is called taper. But that's just buying a few less bonds per month. They're still buying a huge amount. This isn't even suggesting that they'd ever sell anything. So they continue to buy a little less rapidly, but at the same time, What they tell us, and Yellen goes along with this, is that, we're going to buy less of these 30-year bonds. I know we've never done that before, and that is historic, but it hasn't worked out that well. So we'll have to maybe cut back. Who knows what damage that will be? So they cut back and say we won't buy quite as many. But then they shout to the market, don't sweat it, because you know and we know our job is to keep the market healthy and robust. We will make sure the interest rates don't go up. So they tell them in one sense, we're not going to buy long-term bonds, but we won't let interest rates go up. So they have to buy something else or interest rates will go up. So it's all a con game. Intellectually, it's a con game. Politically, it's a con game. And morally, I believe it is the same thing. It's this pretense that you can create wealth out of thin air. It's been around for a long time, but it is epitomized by this whole concept that wealth can be created out of thin air and that the Federal Reserve can create capital. They talk about capital just casually. Well, there's a lot of capital out there. The banks have it. They have as much. Just wish they would use it. Wish they would loan more out. But they never talk about the distortions of the market of what they've been doing, not just during Bernanke's tour, but Greenspan and all the way back. It was always building an economy on a false pretense that they knew what interest rates should be. But in a market, in a true free market, interest rates are crucial. You have to get an idea about what the true market rate of interest is to help people make decisions. And every individual who's making a decision based on interest rates are vulnerable to making mistakes. And you say, well, that's bad. Why don't we get control of this and control the interest rates? Well, the whole thing is you put it in the hands of one person, like a Greenspan, a Bernanke, or a Yellen, they don't have any idea. And when they make a mistake, it's horrendous. But in the marketplace, yes, we look and see how much savings there are, and that'll help decide on what to invest in and how much risk to take. And when the people make good choices, they're going to do well. Helps people decide when to save. But all of that is so grossly distorted. There are essentially no savings, and the poor people who want to save and try to take care of themselves and don't trust the government or the Fed or the stock market, where they don't get any interest. So it's such an unfair system. But the one thing, one of the great deceptions with this system is that they're all reassured because, well, the CPI is not going up. Exactly what they said, of course, in the 1920s. They said, there is no inflation. We want inflation. We are obligated to destroy the value of the dollar at least by 2% a year, and that is good for the economy. Of course, the dollar is being destroyed at a more rapid rate than that. But they actually believe this is the very best thing that they can do, and yet the other part of the inflation of the currency and the distortion of interest rates, what it does, it causes something called malinvestment. And they never talk about this. That if there's malinvestment or mistakes in a bubble, it's never due to the Fed. You know, Yellen sort of brags about her, you know, knowing about bubbles, and she will detect them and do something about them. But never once would she admit the Fed has something to do with it. It's all a result, you know, of the marketplace. But I think that right now that is the bigger problem than the destruction of the value, which is pretty big. But it's the malinvestment. It's the investments of the wrong things. And most people understand this, that too much money was going into the housing market. And it was pretty obvious there was a bubble there. But that was a combination of easy money, easy credit, and Congress writing laws that mandated making bad loans. So today you have to look around. Where are the bubbles right now? I think they're in bonds. That's a bubble, and that's all orchestrated by the Fed. But there's also money that goes into other areas. Money goes into the medical industry, and what happens? Prices go up and quality goes down, and then they come in with regulations, and we have Obamacare pretending that he can correct those problems. Then also the Congress has directed money going into education. So we have all this money going into education and prices skyrocketing and the quality of education going down. So those are the things that people don't look at. How about student loans? You know, more money in student loans than there are in credit cards. And just look at how much credit card debt, over $1 trillion. Well, there will. The market wants to correct these imbalances. The market in generally knows it, and unless they're corrected, they're not willing to take on new things or going back for economic growth. And that's why, of course, the economy is so stagnated. And now we're starting to recognize how destructive Obamacare is going to be to new jobs. It's another burden, you know, on the economy. So with all this malinvestment and this great burden of all what Congress does, you know, is the part that is hard to get people to change their minds on. But on top of this, probably what we're going to get is an increase in the rate of prices going up. And when that happens, at the same time, there's an economic slump. Believe me, if there was ever an example being between the rock and a hard place, it'll be Janet Yellen, because there's only one tool she has, and that is to print more money and lower the interest rates. But once you get interest rates below 1%, you know, Bernanke got them down to 1, Greenspan got them below down to 1, and Bernanke takes them down to negative because he gets it down to essentially zero, and there's inflation of a couple percent. So that's a negative interest rate. So what's Yellen going to do? You know, if she had the vaguest idea about what's ahead in this economy and had just an inkling about what Austrian economics were all about, believe me, I don't think she'd want the job. So unfortunately, we're going to suffer from it. But when that comes, I don't know. Somebody out there might make a prediction, but I think it's inevitable it will come, just like so many of us in the Austrian camp knew about the housing bubble. But we knew about the housing bubble in 2002. But in 2002, we couldn't say, well, we know that in the fall of 2008, you know, the whole thing is going to fall apart. That is what you can't predict, because a lot of people can place confidence for much too long. That's what we've been doing. And that's why we live on a time bomb, an economic time bomb. And there will be a lot more sudden changes in the economy, just like we saw the collapse in 08 and 09.
Ron Paul, The Weekly Podcast. When we continue in just a moment, I'd like to ask you about what have been a bone-rattling couple of weeks for American stock market investors. That's next.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
Nobody ever forgot Valentine's Day because he wanted to. He just forgot. Don't, believe me, don't let that happen to you. Right now, get 100 blooms of love with a free glass vase for just $19.99, or upgrade and add gourmet chocolate and a teddy bear for just $9.99 more. Just use my code Ron Paul. You'll get 100 gorgeous and colorful blooms, a huge bouquet. ProFlowers is quick, easy, and delivery on Valentine's Day is guaranteed. You can't beat the price for convenience. ProFlowers are guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. Now, this is a no-brainer. Do it now and do not risk forgetting. Here's the only way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. 100 blooms of love with a free glass vase for just $19.99, or upgrade and add chocolates and a teddy bear for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in Ron Paul. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in Ron Paul. Order now. This deal expires soon.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, The Weekly Podcast.
So, Dr. Paul, a 7% drop in stocks in the first few weeks of the new year. How about the devotion of the Fed once investors in Wall Street start calling their regional Federal Reserve Bank presidents and congressmen and so on? I suppose the pressure comes in from places on high for them to start cranking it up again.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll hear about it. And of course, Yellen, that's part of her philosophy. She's a bigger inflationist than either Greenspan or Bernanke. So that will come. And, you know, they say that January is an important month for the traders, those people who are in and out of the market all day, and they look at short term and not the fundamentals. But they look at January as being very important. If the first day is down, that's significant. If the first month is down, that's significant. If the first week in February is down, that is significant. But, you know, technically, in reality, it shouldn't make a difference, you know, if we had a free market. But because so many people have looked at this and it's happening, it does have a significant. And if it is out of, if the stocks are out of whack, and others are anticipating, hey, you know, all those traders over there, they see this as negative. It looks like we better get out. And that may be what's happening. Whether how long this lasts, we don't know. It might last for a few more months, but only time will tell. But I cannot see how more people jumping into the stock market and buying stocks at this time. It was sort of like I was worried about the housing market in 2002. Well, I've been worried about, you know, at least aware of the fact that the stock market was not going to be a good place to be long term. And I think that's what we're seeing. But what time will tell. Eventually, though, there will be major corrections. And if they never permit the liquidation of debt in order to get new growth again, what you can expect is a lot more price inflation, and you will have an inflationary depression. But how this pans out, only time will tell.
Well, as always, we thank you for your insights and for a great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast, I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.